Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Fellas.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's go.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Al Horford with the big time 3-pointer.
Yeah, I'm a little behind. I'm on the internet, you know. I'm on those cord cutters, so I might be a couple seconds behind you.
Uh-oh. JQ telling about himself right now. Hey, what's up, America? With the 12th man. We are avoiding sweeps. It's what we do. We're getting to game sevens. My crew, my fellas, we are ready to talk some sports here on this Sunday night again. We're kind of feeling this night, man, so we'll see how it plays out. Like I said, you know, getting the week started. But that is what we do on this late night here. So, again, let's check in with my fellas. Mr. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. Like I said, I'm riding in the forum. I just took me a quick nap so I could be in tip-top shape for the show. How you doing today, brother?
Well, good, man. As always, man, appreciate you, man. Like I said, nothing too crazy. So, again, we'll talk about that a little later as the show goes on. Mr. Rob Ford, how you feeling this evening, Rob?
Doing great, man. Ready to make it do what it do. I'm just like JQ. I had to get that nap in too, man, to recharge the battery and get ready for the show.
There it is.
Yeah, Rob sounds like he's taking a nap. That's the thing, man. You know. So yeah, good man.
We telling our age, America. We taking naps and everything these days.
Right. That's great. That's what happens. You start to get old. You got to take a nap so you can make it.
Man, you wish you could take a nap in your 20s, man. So it's all good. So just all good. Just recharge. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's talk about this.
Hey, you're in your 20s, man.
Sunday.
You stay out to 4 a.m. and you get up and go to work at 6.
Yeah.
That could be stupidity. That could be stupidity, too. You know, you're staying up that late, man. What's your name? You know, you're trying to, like, get – you don't know what's happening, what your name is. It's all good.
What's your name is, girl. And can I get your number? That's the only reason you're staying up to 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's the only reason why. That is the only reason why.
But wasn't my lifestyle. Let me just put that out there.
Oh, okay.
JQ, Rob had to clean it up in case somebody's listening, so we're going to clean it up, man. Let's get off the subject. Yeah, let's just make sure, Rob. That's not what I was doing back in the day.
Hey, that's what they was doing.
Let's throw some numbers out before we get into any more trouble here. 424-243-9519. Holla at you, boys. That's the number. Again, if you call in on this Sunday, I keep trying to, like, change the days. If you call in on that number, again, like I tell everyone, the trigger has no heart. So if JQ tells me to cut you, we're going to get you cut off, man. So you got to keep it relevant. Don't talk any nonsense.
Yes,
that's what we do.
You've
we are a serious
off.
Sports talk show. We are, even though we kind of play around, have some fun, we are pretty serious about sports. So just don't come talking any crap, you know, or any nonsense. You get cut off. As always, follow us on
Twitter. Come and talk legitimate sports, and we're going to take your call.
There it is.
Absolutely.
Follow us on Twitter. Again, follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports, and follow Facebook on facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12th man or 12th man sports. So right off the cup, the Braves and the Mets, we're going to do that later because, again, they had a little rain out. But I'm pretty surprisingly, just really quickly, if I could talk about my Braves, I'm actually pretty pleasantly surprised at what they're doing. Because, again, we had some question marks, and our new GM, Alex Anthopoulos, I probably butchered that, but AA, appreciate you, bro, coming from the Dodgers organization, doing a pretty good job as far as making some moves. And, obviously, we had a pretty good farm system, so we're excited about the direction. And I know the Houston Astros are kind of like the model, if you will, as far as, you know, just building up and kind of doing that. Not to say that we're there yet, just kind of a good mix of, you know, adding veteran players and kind of getting that talent, man. So, again, we'll see how that plays out. They are surprisingly doing well. and you know, give them the Met number one team, you know, kind of like giving them a run for their money too. So good job, Braves. I don't know, Jake, if you want to add anything to that, and we'll let Rob kind of wrap it up too as well. So go ahead, boss.
I don't know. You touched on it. I mean, getting wins when you know, to destroy Matt Harvey. When you get a win when the Syndergaard gets a start, and I believe they also got a win when DeGrom started. I mean, yeah, the Braves coming out swinging. The Nationals kind of trying to figure it together in the middle, but the Mets have started off, you know, a house of fire. You can get, you know, a team with that kind of pitching, and, you know, that might have been good for the Mets that they got rained out today, because the Braves were making a statement against them a little bit this weekend at home. So, I mean, I'm a little shocked. The Braves are ahead of schedule. I think in their rebuild, it's still a little early, but you got to give them credit when credit is due. They're playing well right now.
Yes, sir. That's right. Go
ahead,
Rob.
They're right in the thick of things there in the National League. As you mentioned, the Mets 14-6 still in first place in the NL East. The Phillies right behind them at 14-7. Then you have the Braves right there in the mix, right there in the thick of things, 12-8. Maybe you're getting your Braves back from the 90s. Getting back into the thick of things there. But that should be – you expect the Nationals to come around a little bit too. So you might have a legitimate four pretty good teams there in the National League East before it's all said and done.
I think Philadelphia will fall off a little bit. The young boys have been hitting pretty well for them, but I think they'll come back there for a little bit. I think it's probably be legitimately three. I can see the Braves hanging around a little bit. I mean, they've been building up, so I'm not exactly, you know, super surprised this happened. I just thought it would happen next year and not this year. I didn't think they were 5 years away. I thought they were probably about a year or two away. So they're a little bit ahead of the curve, but, you know, I mean, you know, shout out to Atlanta. I mean, I'm not a big Braves fan, but they're playing good ball.
So you think Philly's luck is going to run out with the Phillies?
I do. And, Lord, please help us. I hope so, because, God dang it, Philadelphia, I'm tired of them.
We all tired of Philadelphia.
Man.
Oh, man, come on, bro. Seriously, y'all got to stop, man. It's all good.
Six is up 3-1, looking good.
Mm-hmm.
I got another question.
LeBron James, 32 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists so far.
Wow.
And they struggling to win, you know, by single digits. Crazy. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Hey, like I said, we have fun with that too. And the surprising thing, too, I actually do kind of like Philadelphia. Just, I mean, the team. So, you know, it's kind of good to see that kind of talent too. But again, you know, I don't know if I want him to win again because I'm kind of sick of them. So it's all good. Hey, let's keep it going. And, Rob, this is a very interesting question. We're definitely in the middle getting ready to the draft is coming up, gentlemen, and it's pretty exciting times. So
yes.
The draft will actually be coming up. So, again, the question that we're going to ask is where will Saquon Barkley get drafted? And I'm going to let Rob kind of take that too, and you can follow that, JQ. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, yeah, I know we talked about a little bit about this on last week's show too, and obviously we're getting closer to the draft, and some things are starting to, you know, come into fruition here, if you will. And I think it's basically the same where we put it on last week. I think it all comes down to what the New York Giants want to do at the number two position.
Yep.
He could easily go as high as number two. He definitely won't go number one. I think you're definitely going to see the Browns taking a quarterback. I think that's one thing for sure. We're going to get at the number one position. It all is going to come down to the New York Giants. What are they going to do at the number two position? And if I'm the general manager of that organization, you got an opportunity to take a quarterback to prepare for life after Eli Manning. I would go ahead and take it. And, you know, running backs these days in the National Football League, you don't know how many years legitimate you're going to get out of them. I mean, you're doing great if you get 8 strong years out of them these days. Quarterback, you're looking to get 12 to 15 years or even a little more out of that position. So if I'm the Giants, I would still take the quarterback. I mean, I have the Giants taking Sam Darnold, but Saquon Barkley is definitely in the mix at the number two position. It could definitely go that high. I am going number six to Indy right now. Tampa seems to believe they have a chance. He has a chance to fall in, and I think it's a safe bet that the Jets are going to go to quarterback here as well at the number three position. So you're either talking 2, 4, 5, or 6 here for Saquon Barkley. But right now I am going to 6 to Indianapolis, which I think they would absolutely love that. because they've been having a running back, 80-year-old Frank Gore, here for the last few years.
You know what? I agree with that. And again, the Giants are the, you know, we talked about them controlling the draft, and the draft really starts when the Giants start pick. I opt for the Browns, and I'm not, you know, trying to mess up their draft. I personally would think I would have Barkley in play for one. I said this, you know, many moons ago, that depending on how you feel about those quarterbacks, if they're all evenly rated, you're like, okay, you know, at four, I can get one of them, but I can get maybe arguably the best athlete in the draft in Barkley. I don't know why they would close the door on it, but I agree with you. They've missed so many times on quarterbacks. I think they're going to go ahead and take a quarterback at one. I've heard strong reports of the Giants really being interested in Saquon. I don't know if that's, you know, just talk to somebody trying to move up to two so they can move back and get some more picks. But I can see him going to the Giants legitimately, but I know some of that is, you know, it's lion season when you get this close to the draft, when you try to draw some interest in your pick. And I agree, the Jets didn't move up to take a running back. So you could effectively remove them. I agree with you with that, Rob. And I don't know about the Broncos. I mean, they drafted Booker, and they're still high on him, and I think that's part of the reason why they let C.J. Anderson go. They might address that later in the draft, but I don't think they address it this high. I think they view Keenum as a stopgap. They may get a quarterback, or they get somebody in the pair, you know, with Von Miller on the other side if they take Chubb, if the Giants don't take him. But I just don't see Denver pulling the trigger on him. So I'm going to say still Cleveland in play, the Giants. And then I agree. I think it's Indianapolis. And they may get to the Bucks because you could have Saquon Barkley, but that offensive line is horrible in Indianapolis. I mean, so we talk about Quentin Nelson being there. They could very easily go that route. And it's not sexy, but it's effective. You talk about quarterbacks being 12, 15 years. You get a good guard or tackle, he could easily play 12 to 15 years in this league as well and be very productive. So I'm with you. I think it's more, you know, 1-4 Cleveland, 2 for the Giants, and then you're looking at Indianapolis and Tampa, 6 or 7. But his floor is Tampa at 7 for me. I don't think he gets past Tampa. I think Tampa would electric slide, moonwalk, you know, do the running man to, to throw that pick in to get Barkley. Because then you're talking Barkley, Evans, and, quarterback, Winston. So you got your own version of the triplets now in Tampa. So I don't think he falls past Tampa.
Hey, let me ask you guys a question. Who's the running back for the Giants? Off the top of your head. Do y'all know?
The Duke of Clemson.
Running back committee.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, who's that running back they drafted for Clemson? Yeah.
They got Wayne
Gallman, though. You're right.
Gallman, whatever. Yep.
Wayne Gallman.
So, again, I'm not trying to like throw. I'm just, you know, again, that could be an interesting thing as well. Because, again, as Robert mentioned, it does depend on as far as, you know, what the value of that position is. We know that the value has definitely dropped for running back. So, again, you're not quite sure what the Giants are thinking. So they are the true kind of, you know, wild card in this whole draft right now, because what kind of happens from them will set the tone as far as a couple picks too. So if they get quarterback, again, you're going to see kind of a couple of dominoes are going to fall. If they go and kind of surprise everybody and get, you know, Saquon, then that's going to also do, okay, that's going to adjust what's going to happen too. So, again, whatever the Giants do, guys, I'm excited to see. That's going to definitely set the stage as far as the draft too, because they signed a 3,000-year-old running back in Jonathan Stewart from Carolina. They got to Jalen Simmons, and pretty much that's it. I mean, I don't know if you're scared of the running game or what, but, again, that's something to think about unless they're going to pick somebody up that's going to get cut. So, you know, again, we'll see how that plays out too. And without further ado from that perspective, Rob, go ahead and let's talk about some mock draft coverage here and what's going to happen, Ross.
Hey, you know, I'll tell you even something else. I mean, Bradley Chubb is very much in play for the Giants, too, at number two well. I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul is not there any longer. They need a pass rusher. They need help on that defense. Bradley Chubb is very much in the mix as well, in addition to Saquon Barkley, in addition to the quarterback. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things to consider here. And also you got to consider, if you're the Giants, the second round is going to be loaded with pretty good running backs that are going to play right away. And and so if you're the Giants, you got to think about that perspective as well. And Andre, you make a great point. They definitely do need a running back. There's no doubt about it. They haven't had one now for about 4 or 5 years here with Paul Perkins. Oh, man, come on. Paul Perkins and Orleans Dockwar from Tulane and who
I love it.
So, I mean, you're absolutely right. They do need a running back. And so, I mean, but
they've got a big decision to make because you mentioned they need a running back, they need a quarterback for the future, and Bradley Chubb, I mean, you can make a case that he's the best positional player in this draft along with Saquon Barkley. So there will be a lot for them to consider. And as we mentioned, we've talked about this numerous times, that the draft will start with them. And I think we know what Cleveland is going to do. We know what the Jets are going to do. And so they're the wild card here in this draft. And you can look at a million mock drafts right now, and they even have the Giants taking the QB, Bradley Chubb, or Barkley. I don't think anyone knows. Dave Gettleman, the Giants general manager, he's come out making it clear that we don't need to draft a quarterback yet. So, I mean, I don't know if that's a smokescreen. You know, we'll see. But he's come out. But, you know, in my opinion, that would be the wisest pick for them is to go ahead and take the quarterback for the future. And it's that's the one position. If you don't have it, it's going to be harder for you to win. And it's kind of the same situation with when Indy got the number one pick while still having Peyton Manning. They went ahead and take Andrew Luck, set them up for long-term success, even though he's dealing with the injury right now. But, you know, getting – go ahead, JQ, you got a comment?
No, go ahead. No, nothing.
But, yeah, just, you know, just getting back to the draft here, not a whole lot of changes at the top here. You know, I still have Baker Mayfield slotted to 5. Baker Mayfield is actually in the mix for number 3 for the Jets. And if that happens, you're going to see a slide by Josh Rosen, which is in play here as well. Derwin James going to Tampa. Fitzpatrick, number 9 to San Fran. Let's see what else we got here. Denzel Ward to Washington at 13. Lamar Jackson to the Ravens, and a little bit of a surprise, 16. Mason Rudolph to the Chargers. I got the Bengals trading up here at 19 to take Marcus Davenport. Let's see, Calvin Ridley to Denver. Leighton Van Der Esch. The Cowboys are definitely very high on him as well as looking at the receiver position. And let's see what else we have here. The Cavs won. Tied the series up at 2, 104-100. Will Hernandez to Buffalo, DJ Moore to New England, Darius Geis to Carolina. Some of my earlier mock drafts, I had Carolina taking a running back. Now I have them back to taking a running back here on this latest mock. Harold Landry to Boston College, from Boston College to Tennessee, James Daniels to Atlanta, and I have Josh Jackson, cornerback from Iowa to the Saints, Isaiah Wynn to Pittsburgh, Colton Miller to Minnesota, and Jerry Alexander to New England, and Josh Sweat, Keith Sweat's brother from Florida State, Philadelphia at 32.
Oh,
just
man.
Kidding.
Come on, don't hurt him, Dre.
Quit your day job, Dre.
I'm just having fun. I'll be getting it, though. Go ahead. Keep going.
So that's I don't know if we want to comment about any of those first round before we go into the second round.
Man, I don't want to see it, but Lamar Jackson of Baltimore is very intriguing. I think, you know, Joe Flacco is done, if I'm being honest with you. I think he's done. I could see them doing that. I would struggle if Arizona let him get past there. I would think Baltimore would have to jump in front of Arizona to get him. But that's to me, I think that's a great pick for Baltimore. I don't want to see it. But that's a great pick for them. I just don't see the Bengals trading up. That's just really not how Mike Brown and Marvin Lewis get down. But then I know Devin Porter is picking up a lot of steam. But the only reason why I say that is they picked up the 2 pass rushers in the past draft and Lawson and the kid from Kansas State. So I would be shocked to see them move up and do that. But, you know, they need some help on that defensive side of the ball for sure. So, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily cry about it. I would hate to give up that second-round pick to do it. But – you know, it is what it is, but I still see them being locked in and standing and picking up either Hernandez or Wynn to show up that offensive line.
Yeah, Rob, good job as always, man. This is Mock Draft 300, man, and you've definitely given us enough fodder
to talk
about.
I'm glad
you're
keeping count. I lost count.
Yeah, man. And I was going to say, man, you know, again, there's a couple things that we talk about, man, because, again, this is just great for radio talk, but I'm really curious about. I don't know if Lamar gets past Arizona for Baltimore. That's going to be an interesting pick for them. And then, you know, like I said, just a couple trades here, and we talked about this with Dallas and in that wide receiver position, man. I'm kind of curious about what's going to happen from that perspective, too. Are they kind of looking for that next replacement for, obviously, for Dez Bryant? And then, like we talked about earlier, too, I mean, there's a couple quarterbacks that are going to set the stage as far as what's going to happen, too, because, again, this is like JQ said, you lying, man. Everyone's, like, throwing out these smoke signals and whatever. They have they got the guy they want, but they don't want anyone else to know exactly what's happening, too. So, you know, this is one draft that's going to be excited because this could be one of these drafts, guys. And I'm curious, Rob, afterwards, because, you know, there's been some crazy guys as far as who's going to be the quarterback out of this draft, guys. There's about five quarterbacks, guys, that can go anywhere that we don't know what's going to happen. You know, the Josh Allens, Sam Darnold, Rosen, Baker Mayfield.
Uh-huh.
You know, who's going to be the best out of this draft, man? I mean, Lamar Jackson is going to be his freaking second. Mason Rudolph. There's a ton of quarterbacks, and this is going to be an interesting draft. But there's so many before. You'd have like maybe like one or two, right? You had a couple guys that were kind of battling for that clear-cut number one position, and there's not any clear-cut quarterback right now. So it's kind of like, hey, kind of pick your flavor if you will, man. So I'm excited about that. So, again, it's going to be interesting, and we're going to talk about this as well as far as what's going to happen in that second half too and everything like that. But let's talk about the Giants here. And I guess we could have tagged it earlier, but I felt we're still going to kind of get back to this too. Brandon Marshall just got cut from the Giants, and I'm going to pose a couple of questions to you guys and as far as who's going to sign him. But also, do you think the Giants are a fit? And I know two crazy personalities may not fit there, but Dez Bryant, you know, because he gets a chance to play his Cowboys again. So just want to get your thoughts on that. I mean, I know it's definitely just, you know, whatever, but you know, I know they got Odell Beckham, and they probably don't want another freaking, you know, whatever. But maybe they get a motivated Dez Bryant to go Giants now, you know, because of them cutting Brandon Marshall. So what are your thoughts about that, JQ, and the team that's going to sign him?
Yeah, man. No, I don't think anybody's going to sign Brandon Marshall except for the old folks home. They might draft him in the first round or sign him in free agency, but not an NFL team. I mean, you know, if you saw him play last year, then you didn't really see him play because he just was a bust. I think he's done. I mean, it happens quickly, and I think he's a wrap. So I don't think anybody signs him. I can definitely see them doing that to set the tone to get Dez Bryant, and I don't know if you saw the little Instagram post, but Dez Bryant and Odell Beckham were working out the other day together. So I don't know if like you said, just smoke or there's fire. I know Dez is, you know, is pushing for it. But, you know, one thing about New York is it's more equipped to handle and will take more personalities. So not so much as a smaller city wouldn't want to do that. But New York, I can see that happening. And if you get them, if you give them on a one-year deal, a prove-it deal, I mean, you could always move on from him, you know, after a year. I wouldn't give him, you know, you're not going to give him a 5-year deal, but if you give him a 1-year deal to see what him and Odell do together and try to give Eli, if you feel like Eli still got another good year in and you give him more weapons. I mean, Dez is no longer a one, but if he's got the second cornerback on him and getting single coverage because he's got Odell on one side and Shepard in the slot and you got Ingram, you know, running that seam route from the tight end, I mean, there's worse things you could do. So I would definitely put, you know, the Giants is in the pole position again, and he wants to go there. He's working out with their best wide receiver. I mean, oof, that NFC, I told you, I talked about that NFC, you know, if they do that and they get anything out of Eli this year, that NFC is just loaded.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm going to put it over to Rob, too, because, again, if they did that, it's going to take a veteran quarterback. You can't put a rookie quarterback against those dominant personalities for sure because that would drive that rookie quarterback crazy. Rob, what are your thoughts, bro?
Yeah, well, you're talking about Brandon Marshall here. I think the one team that's really showing some interest right now and looking at giving him a short deal, a one-year prove-it kind of deal, is the Buffalo Bills right now. I mean, they're the one team that's talking with them. And Brandon Marshall's got he does not want to retire. He believes he still has some football left. Well, he's got 14 years or so, 34 years old, 35 years old, can't remember exactly. But the Buffalo Bills are in play here for his services, along with the Green Bay Packers as well. And I think the Green Bay is actually considering both Dez Bryant or Brandon Marshall. So they're in the mix, actually, for both of them. The Giants are actually saying they have no interest in Dez Bryant right now. And it's going to be really interesting to see if they get in that mix now. But they've been saying all along they have no interest in signing Dez Bryant. I know the Ravens and the Texans have been, you know, two other teams that's been in the mix for Dez Bryant as well. So, you know, we'll be curious to see where those two guys go. Neither one of them are number one receivers any longer. You know, who can he help in being that number two guy, number three guy? In Brandon Marshall's case, you know, with his size, too, you got to think he's still got to be a threat in the red zone or something like that. So it's going to be real interesting to see where both of those guys go. Obviously, I think Dez overall has a little bit more in the tank.
Yep.
You know, with the right quarterback, he might be able to still be a little effective for you. But it's going to be interesting. But one thing's for sure, there was nobody waiting in line to sign these guys right away. So you can tell these teams are, out there are being smart and they're doing their due diligence. And I think somebody will sign them for the right deal and the right price. But nobody's going to break the bank for either one of these guys. You know, getting back to Andre's previous comment about the quarterback position in this draft, it is going to be very interesting here. And I think in Cleveland's case, I think we talked about this before.
Yeah,
I think in their case, I think they would be more hopeful if there were just one clear-cut quarterback in this draft, because now it's such a big risk for them if they miss on a quarterback that they're taking. And I know they seem to be a lot higher on Josh Allen than what some teams are. And so, to me, that's a little scary. And, you know, I had a chance to listen to Sean Payton. He gave his 2 cents on the quarterbacks in his draft. And, you know, and who knows if Sean Payton is telling the truth or not or giving smoke screens or what have you. But he said, in his opinion, the only clear-cut quarterback in this draft was Sam Darnold. And and he said, other than that, he's not sold on any other quarterbacks, you know, in this draft. So I don't know what that means, but you know, he gave his 2 cents on the quarterback picture in this draft. So we'll see. And we talked about Lamar Jackson as well, and I think from his standpoint, you know, even though I have him at 16, you're right. Arizona's going to be the mix for him at 15. And I think Miami and Buffalo are actually also going to be in the mix for them at 11 and 12, too. So you're going to see a couple of teams that's going to at least consider, you know, whether or not he has that grade to be drafted at that point in the draft. And but these quarterbacks, as we've talked about, they always go higher than where they actually their grade is, just because the need is so strong for several teams. I actually have Kyle Loretta from Richmond going in the second round. Now, I have him going 56 to Buffalo as well. So he's a guy, in my opinion, has actually got a third-round grade or maybe even a high fourth-round grade. Is actually going to go in the second round now because of the need for quarterback.
Yeah, he's moving up. He's been moving up. Yeah, you're right. And I'm sorry, just to piggyback on that, because Dan Orlovsky used to be a quarterback in the league, a backup, and he does basically starting to like a quarterback guru teaching fundamentals and whatnot. And I was reading on Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback site where he was just not a fan of Josh Allen. Like I went back and watched all of his stats, and he was like, you know, his progressions and his footwork are just horrible. Like he's got the athletic ability, but he needs a lot of development with a good, you know, quarterback coach and organization. And that's not who Cleveland is right now, for being honest with ourselves. So if you're Cleveland, you're talking about doing that. I mean, I think you're going to put another bad choice in the books there, so to speak. You kind of want to take Darnold, I think, if you're going to take a quarterback, because he's the safest. But I just am not in love with any of these guys, and I think that's why the Giants are doing so much smoke screening and filling out, because I don't think they're in love with any of them either. You know what I mean? I truly don't. I'm with you, Rob. If you had one guy or maybe two where you could just say that, and you're like, okay, these first two picks, we know what they are, but nobody knows, and nobody knows, to your point, Dre, nobody knows who's going to end up being the best one. It could be, you know, Baker, you know, Mayfield. It could be Mason Rudolph. We have no idea. It's very weird. It's going to be a lot of people that might lose some jobs over choosing the wrong quarterback in this draft. It's true.
Yeah, and Baker Mayfield is very much in play at number three now for the Jets. The Jets are highly considering Baker Mayfield at number three spot. And like I said, if that happens, I think you may see a slide by Josh Rosen. He may fall down to like 11 with the Dolphins or so, or 12 with Buffalo. There could be a slide with Josh Rosen if the Jets bypass him at the number three position. Still going to be a first-round pick, but there is a possibility for a slide there for him. And in this latest mock draft we look at from Cleveland, they got him quarterback one, Chubb at four. Look at the defensive talent they can pick up in this draft. Rashawn Evans at 33, Maurice Hurst at 35,
and cornerback Carlton Davis from Auburn at 64, along with Bradley Chubb and the quarterback. They could really help themselves. They did help themselves offensively a lot in free agency, and didn't get a quarterback. They have a chance here to really improve themselves on the defensive side of the ball. They can still use another offensive lineman, and you can make a case for running back too. So I think it really just depends on how the draft flows to them.
Yeah, Rob. Oh, that's all well and good, bro. But, man, they can have defense, but they still got to figure out how to score, bro. So they're going to get that quarterback done, man.
Oh, they going to draft the quarterback for sure. Yeah, we just talked about that.
They got to get it right, is what I'm saying, man. You can talk all this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Defense, but, man, we're going to be here all over again, as Jake, you said. What's it going to be?
It's up to them to get the quarterback right.
Just keep driving to get it right. Just take five quarterbacks. I'm the joker.
As JQ just said a little while ago, their job depends on it too.
Yeah.
Their job is on the line based on who they pick at the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Hey, so you guys mentioned it too, and we got about 13 minutes here, guys. We're kind of rolling through the show. And we talked about, you know, who would you rather have, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen? And it's kind of tough, too, because if you're an organization, and you hate to, you know, play certain cards in here, but, you know, do you think that Lamar Jackson could be the face of your organization? Do you think people are scared about him, if you know what I mean? You know, trying to talk about that. Is that another reason why? Or is this situation – I mean, because he's extremely talented. I know that he's gone through the whole thing as far as I'm not, you know, working at different positions. I want to be a quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Can he really legitimately be the face of the organization? Are people scared about what he brings as far as that situation? And then you're looking at Josh Allen, too, as far as he's dealing with as well, man. So what are your thoughts on that, Rob?
Well, I tell you, from a fan perspective, the one I'll be most excited about is Lamar Jackson. Though in just about every NFL war room, Josh Allen has the higher grade. But from a fan perspective and from an excitement standpoint, I would be more excited about Lamar Jackson. I've seen him more go against tougher competition. He's extremely athletic, extremely talented. He's going to be able to extend plays. Josh Allen has some athletic ability as well, has a really strong arm. But from an excitement standpoint, I would be more excited about Lamar Jackson if I'm a fan. Whatever team gets Lamar Jackson, to me, I would be more excited about that than being excited about Josh Allen. Just from the standpoint, you just have seen more from him against tougher competition. The jury's still out. Obviously, there are a lot of people that think Josh Allen can turn into Carson Wentz, and if he does, then hey, I mean, you can't blame people for that either. But I'm still a little concerned where he is from an accuracy standpoint. And to me, that's the biggest thing you want to see on film from your college quarterback. How accurate is he going to be with the football? Now, you can say he didn't have any great weapons there in Wyoming. That could have hurt him as well. But, you know, I still look at a lot of film, a lot of tape, that he's just not delivering the football accuracy. And if Cleveland takes him number one, they're going to base off pure off of their projection and his athletic ability and his strong arm. And they're convinced that they can coach him up to get the accuracy thing down.
Right.
Yeah, agreed. We talk about somebody that played in the ACC against a Florida State, against a Clemson. You know what I mean? You know, just much tougher competition. And showed up
Florida
what
State.
A Heisman. Yeah, you know, what a Heisman doing. And like you said, we talked about before, whose stats are similar, if not better, this past year when he didn't win it. I don't understand it, what's happening with the over-dissection of Lamar Jackson. He played in a pretty, you know, more – offensive-minded NFL, offensive-minded coach in Petrino, so it wasn't just your spread them out, running gun, everybody does in a college kind of offense. Like, he's got somebody as bad as everybody hates Petrino with a very good, you know, NFL kind of mindset and offensive pedigree. I mean, they do, but he's a jerk. But in terms of his style and his philosophy, his offensive philosophy, it's more suited to getting you ready for the NFL system than a lot of other college these spread systems are. So I don't understand it. Josh Allen, we've seen these guys with big arms, you know, come in and not have the accuracy, and it doesn't translate. And one thing we talk about a lot is it's hard to get a quarterback to improve his accuracy. They don't care who they are with the ball accuracy-wise. You can clean it up a little bit, but you really don't. It really doesn't change that much. You have your one-offs like a Matthew Stafford who got better accuracy-wise from Georgia to Detroit. But more often than not, it doesn't happen. Somebody's going to mess around and get Lamar Jackson, and you know, in the mid-teens, maybe late teens, and I feel like they're going to get a steal. The same way Houston came up and got Deshaun Watson, and people over-dissected him, and he was doing nothing but balls for Houston until he blew his ACL out. I think, you know, I think you're going to see something very similar for Lamar Jackson. I don't even understand why Josh Allen is in this top five conversation. I don't. Yes, physical attributes with a lot of big physical guys, but if you can't get the ball through this window on 3rd and 5 when your team has to have it to keep you on the field to win this game, I don't think he can do that, and I don't think he can make a play to run for 6 yards like Lamar Jackson in that same situation if the pocket breaks down. For me, it's Lamar Jackson.
Well, all righty then. I love it. JQ has put the stamp, and he has put his hitched his wagon to Lamar Jackson. So, yeah, love it, man. But it's all good. But I agree with you, Rob, too, man. Definitely Lamar Jackson is going to be exciting, bro, 100%, man. So, you know, we talked about it earlier. You're a fan of certain players. I'm a fan of Deshaun Watson. I want to see him do well. Same thing, man. I'll be a fan of Lamar Jackson as well, man. All right. So let's talk about this. You know, the Steelers, they haven't given Le'Veon Bell that long-term contract. Why is that? And I'm going to throw it to one of the favorite people that love the Steelers and JQ as far as that,
Jesus.
Man.
Yeah, well, everybody knows my disdain and my hate, and I will use the word hate. And I know that's a strong term, but I hate the Steelers. But being said, objectively, I can look at it and say I think it's two things, objectively. One, you got a running back, and Rob talks about it, and it's a very salient point, is that you're only going to get most times an 8-year, 10-year, very good shelf life out of your quarterback. He's already used up a couple of those already. So are you going to be paying for past performance? Can you give him that, you know, that top wide receiver, top quarterback kind of money that he's looking for and expect him to duplicate these first 4 or 5 seasons for the next 5 seasons? I think that's number one. And number two, let's not get away from the character piece. I mean, this dude has been popped, what, twice has been suspended for weed, where he started the season on a suspension list, I believe it is. So can you also, and you know him better than anybody else, he's in your building. Can you give him that money? The fact that they're still reluctant to give him that money says a lot about it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, if you, as a running back, you need to really have be pristine character and be very strong and physically built and be dynamic. Those last two things, he very much is. Le'Veon Bell is a stud. Don't get me wrong. I don't like him, but if he gets on the field, that dude is a matchup nightmare for most defenses. But can you pay him that kind of money and expect to get your money out of it? And is he going to get in trouble again? I mean, I get why they haven't done it. You franchise him a couple of times. You see if you can get anything for him. You kind of go year to year and see if you can get that number down from him. But I don't know if I can give Le'Veon that money either because the running back just gets so much wear and tear.
All right, Rob. JQ said that once you give Le'Veon that money, he's going to go and buy a couple of dime sacks. What say you, bro?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, I can't argue with anything you just said right there. I mean, if you're Pittsburgh here, you're worried. I mean, obviously, as of right now, he may be the best running back in the game. He just might be. I mean, obviously, you know, Ty Gurley, the way he finished the year was incredible. This past season as well. But Le'Veon Bell is right there in the mix for maybe being the best running back in the league. But you're always so concerned about giving these running backs these long-term contracts. So in Pittsburgh's eyes, they would love to just give him another, you know, 1 year big franchise at a franchise price as opposed to giving him a long-term deal. So, I mean, we'll see. I think before it's all said and done, I think they're going to come to some kind of medium ground. You may not see the 5-6 year deal, but you may see a 3-4 year deal that Pittsburgh will pay him top dollar for at the running back position. I think they will finally get it done by July, but I don't think you're going to see like a 6 year deal or something like that. I think it's going to be more in a 3-4 year deal price range when it's all said and done.
Well, you know what? I just thought about it. Could you see it being? Could you see Kirk Cousins setting a new kind of be a trendsetter and extend to the running back position? If you're Pittsburgh, you're right. Instead of getting 5 or 6 years, you give him 3 years fully guaranteed and meet him in the middle, right? So it's like, okay, we feel like for 3 years you're going to be Le'Veon Bell still and be great, and we'll give you this money, but we're not going to get to a 5-6 years where you're on the downside still making $20 million, $15 million a year. I can see that. I think that Kirk Cousins deal may start to become more in vogue with what you're saying, Rob. I don't want to give these long-term deals, but I'll give you all your money. Because I think in this 3-year window, you're going to be worth it, but not in this 5-year window.
There it
but
is.
I will be shocked to see a fully guaranteed deal for running back position. I will be really shocked to see that. And I can see them giving him top dollar in 3 years, but fully guaranteed for running back, I just don't see that.
For Le'Veon Bell, yes. Not for anybody out of the top three, but for him, not at Kirk Cousins' money, but 3 years at top running back dollar fully guaranteed for him, I can see that happening. Not for 5 years, for 3 years, I can see that happening. Not for just any running back. Like I said, Ornelas Darkwater's not getting a 3-year fully guaranteed deal. You know what I mean? But Le'Veon Bell,
like 3 years fully guaranteed at $2 million.
We'll give him like twenty million. All right, gentlemen, we got 4 minutes here. 4 minutes and 47 seconds here. Let's talk really quickly. I'm gonna throw it to Rob as far as Josh Rosen and his personality doesn't fit in the NFL, and then let Jakey finish it, and then we'll get set up for the OT portion. So go ahead, Rob.
I think it does. You know, he's got a kind of like a quiet cockiness about himself. But I think more than anything, Rosen's got to learn to stay healthy in the National Football League. And I know Jim Mara tried to cover for him and say, you know, he really played through a lot of injuries. But I think, to me, that's the most important thing for Josh Rosen. I think he does have a quiet cockiness about himself. And I think to play that position in the National Football League, you have to, you know, have that kind of cockiness too. From a mechanic standpoint, you know, I don't know from a mechanic standpoint there's any quarterback better than him as far as being a pure drop-back passer from a mechanic standpoint. So, I mean, I think his personality can work a little bit. I just want to be able to, you know, to see if he's going to be really, you know, obviously, like, Rosen comes from a, you know, somewhat of a wealthy, you know, family background, which some of these other quarterbacks, I'm not going to say they didn't come from a wealthy background, but not as wealthy as Rosen. So that's the part you want to see. Is he driven enough? But I think his personality definitely will fit. But, you know, is he driven enough is going to be the major question.
Good call.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. The issue for me, him, is those concussions. He's had a number of them, I think about two or three there at UCLA. And you start accumulating those, and that cuts your career down very quickly. So I agree. You've got to find a way to avoid those, which is hard to do at the quarterback position. You depend on other people to protect you. But, yeah, I think the NFL is so vast in this array of personalities that I think he could fit in there. And you're right, Rob. You have to have that level of cockiness. To me, there is no middle ground with Rosen, and this is why people are a little scared of him. He's either Aaron Rodgers, and I can see him having an Aaron Rodgers kind of draft Jay slide, or he's Jeff George. You know, I think he's one of those two guys. I just don't think there's any middle ground for him.
Wow.
He's going to be really, really, really good, or he's going to be a bust. I do. That's just me personally,
wow.
The way he carries himself.
Wow.
He's very confident. He's got a lot of talent. But Jeff George was very talented, but he was a head case. And you worry about that a little bit with Rosen. But Aaron Rodgers as well, he turned people off, and that's why he slid. They thought he was arrogant coming out of college. And he's only just gone and been maybe one of the better quarterbacks that we've seen in the league maybe ever. So, I mean, his ceiling is very high, but his floor is also very, very low. So I think that's why you see so much, you know, angst about Rosen. But I think his personality could definitely fit in the NFL.
Rob, 2 minutes. Set it up, bro.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning into our live portion of our show. Obviously, we still got a lot of sports to talk about, so click on the same link on tomorrow. Get the rest of our NFL coverage and all of our NBA coverage right in the heart of the NBA playoffs, so you don't want to miss that coverage on our OT portion. So click on the same link on tomorrow to get that. We're going to be back on the air again live on next Sunday night. Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. We got a lot going on, recapping the draft here next Sunday. You know, get you updated on what's happening in the NBA playoffs, and we'll see how Andre's Braves are doing in the NL East on next Sunday
night.
So you definitely don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
Yeah, what we won't be doing is talk about the Reds because they suck.
Uh-oh.
They needed to fire their manager, and thank you. It was about 2 years too late there, Cincinnati, but if you can call Mike Brown and have a conversation with him to see if he can have the same kind of thing with Marvin Lewis, that'd be much appreciated. Appreciate everybody for listening to the show for sure and tuning in with us on a Sunday night. You know, everybody's getting ready to get pumped for this NFL draft. We have a lot to talk about that next Sunday. You don't want to miss out. You know, everybody have a safe week, and we'll holler at you on Sunday.
I'm gonna give you a little nugget here, JQ, about the Bengals. I talked to a couple of weeks ago, I talked to someone who who I really confide in. He's really an insider into the NFL scoop and what goes on a little bit more behind the scenes than we do. And and from my understanding, the reason why Mike Brown is so sold on Marvin Lewis, well, I don't know if this is a sign that he's sold on Marvin Lewis, but there's so many coaches that won't come and coach for him in Cincinnati. I don't know if that's true. Mm-hmm. That's what this gentleman told me a few weeks ago, and I can't reveal, you know, on the air who it is, but he mentioned this to me a few weeks ago, that the reason why he sticks to Marvin Lewis is because he knows there's so many coaches who won't come and coach for him in Cincinnati. So I don't know if you got any insight on that.
Yeah, he's cheap. I mean, he's cheap, and part of the reason he sold to Marvin as well is because he could pay him one check to two jobs and be the head coach and de facto GM. But again, and I'll move on from it. Mike Brown is so cheap that in the 90s, he was locking up the Gatorade cooler where you could only get one, and then you had to pay extra money if you wanted extra Gatorade. He's doing this to his NFL players where he's charging them for Gatorade to get an extra Gatorade. So just let that roll around in your brain. Like most first-class organizations, you can go in the locker room and get what you want. You know, you play for my team, I'm going to make sure you have all the amenities, all the luxuries you want so you're comfortable so you go out and ball out for me on Sunday. This dude is charging up for extra Gatorade, bro. Like, for real, how cheap are you as an NFL owner that you are charging up for extra Gatorade? That gives you a glimpse into Mike Brown's psyche and his, you know, frugalness and why people, to your point, don't want to come work and coach there. I totally see that. But as from a fan standpoint, you're still like, come on, man, we got to move on. But that nugget, that doesn't surprise me. Mike Brown is cheap.
Frugal.
Yeah.
Frugal.
Wow. He made Scrooge Duck look, you know, onerous. I mean, it's awful.
There's a difference between cheap and frugal. We'll talk about it later, too. But, all right, all good. Hey, gentlemen, so now we're going to switch gears and talk some NBA here. And let's talk about OKC. And apparently, the Big Three is actually failing against Utah. And, I can't say that I told you so, but I told you so because, again, chemistry is clearly off with this squad. And you definitely got to give Utah credit for sure, man. But, Rob, what are your thoughts about this?
Well, yeah, I mean, Utah, you got to realize, in the second half of the season, they were playing just as good as any team in the Western Conference. And obviously they lost on that last game of the season against Portland that dropped them down to number 5 seed. But you knew from a chemistry standpoint that they were really playing well. I mean, outside of Donovan Mitchell, they don't really have another star on this team. Obviously, Rudy Gobert adds a dynamic presence when you talk about from a defensive standpoint in the middle. And this might be the best season we've seen Ricky Rubio as well, you know, at the point guard position. So he's definitely getting it done this year. So, but, you know, and also Ingles. Ingles has been a tremendous player on the wing for Utah. He's really stepped it up on the – yeah. And, I mean, I think it's going to be really tough for OKC to win this series. I really do. I mean, still a lot of basketball to be played. They're only down 2-1. But I think this game 4 is going to be really key for OKC because they're going to have a chance to win it. Utah go up 3-1. I don't think OKC is coming from that. I just don't see it. They have the Big Three, but I don't think their chemistry is as good as what Utah has.
Yeah, I agree. And let's not leave out Derek Favors out of that because he's also is trying to quell some of those, you know, notions that he can't play alongside Gobert and flourish. Yeah, I agree. I think Quinn Snyder has that Utah team playing. We talked about it. We expect the Utah to fall way back.
He's an underrated coach.
He is. We expect the Utah to fall way back losing Gordon Hayward. And they've only just been in the 5 seed. They've given OKC's Big Three everything they want here in this first round. I agree. I mean, I don't even know if you can call them a Big Three anymore. I think we have seen that you can no longer include Carmelo in any conversation of being a big anything. I mean, I'm just saying, and not saying he can't still get some points, but his days of you saying him and two other superstars form a Big Three, I think that's over. I think what you have is a Big Two. And it comes back to as well as I feel like other stars have a hard time meshing their games with Russell Westbrook's game. It's all either Paul George takes over or Westbrook takes over. But they very rarely take over together in tandem where they feed off of each other. And it goes to that chemistry you alluded to, Bob. I just don't know. I mean, you know, he talked a big game during the regular season about keeping an open mind, but I think, you know, it's showing up now that Carmelo's not that guy and that he can't really – vibe with Westbrook on the court where they can both be, you know, sufficient and efficient for that Oklahoma City team. So, I mean, I understand Oklahoma City gambling and trying to trade and make their own big three and keep Westbrook happy, but it just doesn't look like it's working out. I mean, it's not over. You know what I mean? They can still come back and win that series, but, man, you know, I didn't expect Utah to give them these kind of problems. I really didn't. For as well as Utah's being played, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to roll out Westbrook and Paul George and Carmelo and fill in around them, and, you know, they should be able to, on that talent alone, just be able to handle Utah, and that is not happening. So I think you got a shakeup happening in the OKC again. It's going to be to see what the OKC brass does, because I give them credit for trying. You know, they realize they made a mistake by letting Harden go, so they tried to rebuild their own big three again, but it's not working.
Yeah, they don't win this series, you better believe Paul George is not coming back through that door. He'll be done. He is not coming back through that door, OKC.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
mm-hmm.
Which may be a good thing for your team, JQ, the Lakers, because that's probably
mm-hmm.
where he would go. But he is, if they go on first round, he is not coming back through that door. You can forget it.
I agree.
Yeah, I might have to go back to the Cowbells, OKC.
Sometimes, it's not about talent, guys. It's about chemistry, man, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough because you would think, I mean, I know there's certain players that, you know, again, you're Carmelo. You're basically saying, I'm not coming off the bench. You know, he's a great guy for a six man, like, you know, leading that second unit. But, you know, maybe it's ego. Maybe it is what it is, man. He's like, you know, I'm not coming off the bench. And then, you know, Paul George, man, I'm a superstar. Russell Westbrook, I mean, it's a clear dysfunction, man. So, again, not good. Don't cry for me, Argentina. I ain't crying for you guys as well. Speaking of
Carmelo Anthony, you know, we've said this for a long time that, you know, he doesn't get it done on the defensive end. And, you know, it's been 3-4 years that he hasn't been starting the league anymore. And he was only scoring so much for the Knicks because nobody else on the team to score. And, he hasn't been that player for quite some time already.
Is he still a draw? He's not a draw anymore either, right? He's not getting the draw to say, come on, and see Carmelo anymore, right? That's not happening anymore.
No.
No, that's, you're right. He should be a six-man. He's got to check his ego.
Yeah.
He should be a six-man. That's where he is in his career, but he is. Yeah.
And as good as Paul George is, if you're going to see OKC, you're going to see Russell Westbrook. You're still going to see Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of Westbrook, and we talked about Donovan Mitchell, and I'm a fan of Donovan Mitchell too, guys, but is he the next Russell Westbrook? And I guess, I'll let you take this one, JQ. I'm impressed, man. I mean, that's a high ceiling, man, because, yeah, Russell, man. But I like the kid, man. I think he's got immense talent, man. So go ahead, sir.
Oh, absolutely. The dude is a stud. And the thing about it is I think he's a more – and this is not a knock on Russell Westbrook, but he's a more refined Russell Westbrook. He's not as eccentric, I think, as Russell Westbrook. I think Diamond has a little eccentricity to him, but he's a flat-out athlete and stud. He can get to the rack. You know, he can shoot the ball. But, you know, he doesn't have that crazy factor that Russell Westbrook has. And make no mistake about it, Russell Westbrook has that crazy factor. Yeah, you know, wearing the suit without
wearing
no shirt on. You know, like, right.
Yeah.
Like, you saw him with the suit with no shirt on? Like, he's wild.
Yeah,
man.
So I don't think Mitchell's that far, but game-wise, you know, I think he'd be able to rein himself in, you know, and I don't care what Russ Westbrook does. I've seen the clips where they box out and let him come get the rebound. So some of his stuff is padding, and it's a little inflated somewhat, but you still got to put yourself in position to go get him, those rebounds and whatnot. So I can't kill him too much for that. His teammates allow it to happen, so he takes advantage. But I like Donovan Mitchell. I think he is – I talked to you guys about it in the text. My only concern is, can Utah re-signing? Like, I think he's going to be worth that supermax deal if they can get him to that point. But does he want to stay in Utah? Is he going to be a Carmelo that can live in Salt Lake City? That piece I don't know, because, you know, brothers don't really like to live in Salt Lake City. They don't even want to go there for road games, let alone play 41 games there a year and live there, you know, 8 months out the year. So that's my only concern for the Jazz organization. Can they keep him? Because I think he's worth keeping. Donovan Mitchell can flat out get it done.
Yeah.
Back up
the
truck,
thing about with the way the NBA is structured with the rookie deals, if you're really, really good, they can really keep them for about 7-8 years at least. And so, but before you have to answer that question of whether or not he'll stay in Utah, I mean, with the way it's structured right now, your first 7-8 years, if you're really good, the team really controls almost the rights to him. Man, Giannis, man, with that dunk on Al Horford today. Oh, my goodness. Posterizing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Getting back to Donovan Mitchell, yeah, he's probably definitely locked into Utah for at least 7-8 years before we can really answer that question. So they got him for a good while, you know, here going forward. I would say the only part of his game that he may not be as strong as Russell Westbrook in is, you know, ball handling standpoint. But as far as athletic ability, getting to the rack, mm-hmm. yeah, he's definitely in that mode. I mean, it's hard to stop him when he's pinned his ears back and put his head down, getting to the rack. He's got the strength mm-hmm. to get there. He's got the athleticism to get there. And he turned out to be a real steal. I don't think anybody saw this mm-hmm. before the season. And mm-hmm. one of you all touched on this that, you know, we thought, at least I thought, there was no way Utah was going to make the playoffs this year after losing Gordon Hayward. I mean, I just didn't see it. I thought they would be one of those teams. I thought the Clippers would drop off with Chris Paul, and I thought Utah would drop off with Gordon Hayward. And Utah did not. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're still in the mix. I mean, I would, based on what I'm seeing out of the teams that are in the playoffs right now, I would have thought that Denver maybe would have been in the playoffs this year and not Utah. But Utah's really proved us wrong. And quiet as kept, Quinn Snyder is doing a heck of a job from a coaching
yep.
standpoint. And probably should be in the Coach of the Year running. I don't think he's going to get it, but he should be in that category for the job that he's done the last few years there in Utah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, very under the radar.
Well, and again, all it takes is one player, bro. I mean, not to say that you not have to be the best coach, but if you get like a Donovan Mitchell, I'm sure you, yeah. Hey, bro, do you, man. So, good call.
A lot of teams missed out on him.
A lot of teams did, so 100%. Yep. Was he 13th? I think was he in the 13th pick, if I'm not mistaken, guys? Am I missing that somewhere around there? Or was he 7th? I got
to
check.
I want to see.
He got traded. I think Denver had him and they traded him or something like that. I think I was looking that up, as a matter of fact, now that we're thinking about this. Because I know he was traded, if I'm not mistaken, too. So that's crazy, too. So you talk about, you know, man, I could have, yeah, under Denver, Denver made the trade for him, which is interesting. So,
I didn't see this, right. You know. I didn't, obviously, you know, it's one of those cases where Louisville must have held him back. Because I definitely did not see that based on
what I was the surface to do that to you. I'm sorry.
What'd you say? What'd you say?
The strippers would do that to you.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh man.
Sorry, shout out to
hold
the whole
you
all.
I
had to mess with him a little bit.
Check this out. That was funny. That was good,
13.
JQ. Nice. Yeah, he was drafted 13. By the Denver Nuggets 13th overall to be traded to the Utah Jazz for the 24th pick, and Tyler Lydon and Trey Lyles. I wonder who got the better deal out of that one. Yeah,
Denver. That's a bad move by Denver.
Yeah,
he don't play.
Lyles,
he was actually he's still in Denver, but real quick. Trey Lyles was on Richard Jefferson and I forget the other guy who they do the podcast, and he was talking about how bad it was to live in Salt Lake City. And I read that, I was like, ooh, that's not good for all them drafting folks they're gonna draft, you know, moving through. You know, that's part of the reason why they were so quick they were ready to unload him, because he was just not a happy camper with Quinn Snyder and the nightlife, so to speak, in Salt Lake City. So
look at the two picks ahead of Donovan Mitchell. You look at Charlotte Hornets at 11, took Malik Monk, even though he did start to play a lot better toward the end of the season. Detroit took Luke Kennard at 12. Oh, my.
That's the one. Luke Kennard is going to be a bust. That is horrible, Detroit. I said that's the one. Luke Kennard is going to be a bust.
I think Joe Dumars took the kid. I can't remember the guy's
Darko.
Name.
Darko Milicic.
Yeah, it took Darko over Dwayne
Carmelo.
Wade, Chris Bosh, and Carmelo.
Wow. Yeah. All right, gentlemen, we're making moves here. Let's go ahead and talk about this. Since we're already here, let's talk about the next thing. Let's talk about if you're starting a franchise, are you going to Donovan Mitchell or are you going to do Ben Simmons? And I'm going to take this one because, again, this is really tight, man, because I think I give the nod to Ben Simmons only because I like his size as far as how tall he is. I mean, and the fact that he's been averaging triple doubles. He's more of a complete player as far as all he gives to the team. And this is not a knock on Donovan Mitchell because, again, it's like 1A, 1B.
No.
And the only reason why I give him a nod is only because of his height
and the fact that for him, yeah, his size. I mean, that dude is just like doing his thing, man. So, again, man, you can't go wrong with either. But I would just kind of give a slight nod to Ben Simmons. What say you, JQ?
I agree. If you get a talented big man and a talented guard, you're more often than not going to take the talented big man. And, you know, if you watch it, we can throw it here to Ross Pelicans. You know, you got the Blazers with a very talented backcourt, but you can get some other guards who can just play defense like in a Drew Holiday. But the Pelicans have Anthony Davis. And to me, he was the difference in that series. And that's why I'm saying if you're going to take have a choice over a talented big man and a talented guard, give me the size all day. Especially with a big man like Ben Simmons who can flat out just pass the ball, you know, and rebound. If he gets that shot together, he's going to be unguardable. You know, I mean, that's the only knock is that he just doesn't shoot well. But, you know, he runs the floor so well. He's so great with his dribbling, his ball handling, and able to get to the rim and assist. His decision making. Ben Simmons, like you said, no knock on Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell is flat out going to be a stud in this league. But if you're going to give me a stud power forward who can handle the ball or a stud shooting guard, a point guard, I'm going to take the power forward every time.
I'm going to say this, too, really quickly, and we're going to let Rob finish up, too. But one thing about that, I will say having a unique guard is going to – I mean, the addition of Rondo has changed that team. You know, that playoff experience, the fact that he's able to come in, he's allowed Drew Holiday to kind of, like, play the off-guard position. And then he just has – there's something about that – you know, he's got the dog in him. I mean, you may not like him, but that dude is definitely – even last year whenever he was playing with the Bulls, I mean – once he got hurt, the Bulls dropped, man. So I think having Rondo is a key thing. But go ahead, Rob. What are your thoughts on that?
And also,
man, 100%, man. But go ahead, Rob. Tell us your thoughts about that.
I would definitely, for all the reasons you said, I agree with Ben Simmons. But also, he's going to make his teammates better, too. And I think that you have to think about that regard as well with Ben Simmons over Mitchell. Not that Mitchell, he's made Utah a lot better this year. And there's no doubt about that. But I think Ben Simmons overall, he's going to do so many things for you on the court, and he's going to make your teammates better. He's going to put them in positions to succeed as well with his penetration and his driving kick game. He can post you up and draw double teams down there as well. So he's going to, you know, raise the play of the rest of his team, which you're seeing him do even when you saw Joel Embiid being out. As well. And so I think from that regard, to me, I would have to go with Ben Simmons. The way he can handle the ball at that size, see the floor, control the pace of the game, all of those things he's going to be able to do for you and make his teammates better. So it would definitely be Ben Simmons who I would build a franchise over before Mitchell. But you can't go wrong with Mitchell either, but I'll give Simmons the slight edge. And, you know, getting back to the Rondo piece as well, yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, they were up 2-0. They went into Boston last year and won two games on the road. And before he got hurt, they really could have won that series, absolutely. So he's been a major reason for the Pelicans' success in the playoffs. He's kind of given them another coach on the floor. I think one of these games in the series, they had like 17 assists. And, and the crazy thing is, he's improved his shot actually too. He's able to knock down a three pointer or two here if you leave him all open behind that line. And I think it was game two in Portland where he kind of helped seal the deal with a three pointer at the end of the game. And so he's been able to hit a few big knockdown shots, get into the paint. And but Drew Holiday, man, has he taken his game to a whole nother level? Well, both ends of the floor, too. I mean, he totally locked down Dame Lillard that entire series. And, I mean, just totally took him out of his game the entire series. I mean, he did that and put up 41 points the other day. I mean, he locked the guy down on one end, and then he was unstoppable on the other end with 41 points.
Anthony Davis has
been Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis so far in these playoffs, I don't know if there's anybody playing better. And I know LeBron James may still be the king, but I don't know if there's anybody in the playoffs right now playing better than Anthony Davis.
He was unguardable. He was unguardable in that series against Portland. He was unguardable.
Yep. Well, you know, they don't have anybody that could guard them, and probably a lot of teams don't either, to be honest.
They don't. I agree with that. We talked about it, and he only slipped in that whole young guy you would start a team with because he got hurt, where everybody, you know, it got Sheik to go with, like the Greek Freak or Carl Anthony Towns. But that guy before him was Anthony Davis that we all used to talk about. And if it hadn't been for injuries, I think we would all still be on that train. And he came out and reminded people that he was still that guy. But I was texting with you about it through the series. Jrue Holiday, man, listen. That dude, if you didn't know who he was before, if you've been paying attention to the first round, you know who he is now. That block, the defense, the scoring, just out there playing out of his mind for the Pelicans. That was impressive. I'll give Rob and his homerism with the Pelicans a whole lot of credit because that has clearly been the most impressive performance by a team to me in the first round of this playoffs. I mean, they got the sweep and they were just dominant, nasty, just alley-ooping and playing lockdown D and getting chippy with folks. I mean, shout out to the Pelicans. That was a fantastic series by them.
Go ahead, Rob. How do they beat the Blazers?
Well, I think we just said it. I was thought number one of how they locked down. They totally shut down Dame Lillard in the series. I mean, you look at all four games. Even when he had like 17 and 19 points, he was doing it on 6 out of 20 something for shooting. I mean, they really just took him out of his game. And when Holiday wasn't on him, they were getting the ball out of his hands. They would have one guy on him, then they'd run another guy at him and get the ball out of his hands. Mm-hmm. And they just, other than McCullough, who game 4, McCullough did have a great game. He finally stepped up. stepped up in game 4, but they just didn't have anybody else that could step up for them. And for Dame Lillard, I mean, they just totally took Dame Lillard out of his game in that series, which I didn't see that coming to that regard. But if you really think about it, in the Pelicans' last 5 games of the regular season, they really started stepping it up on the defensive end, and it carried over into the playoffs. They've been great offensively all season, and in that regard, that's one area where Elvin Gentry is just a whiz with the way he coaches on that end of the floor.
Let's clip that because he was not an Elvin Gentry fan.
I never doubted
his offensive coaching skills. I just if you look at Elvin Gentry's history in the NBA, none of his teams have been able to play defense, and that's been a problem where I've had with them. And but it's kind of, they've found a way to get better defensively, and I think that's the difference. I mean, if you look at all season, as far as pace of the game, they've been the number one team in the NBA in pace, and they've been a top 3 team in scoring all year long. So from that end of the floor, they've been great. It's just that now, all of a sudden, they're playing great defense.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I had to mess with you because I was waiting on to see if you were going to give Alvin Gentry some love. Because you were rough on him, rightfully so. I didn't think you were being irrationally rough on him. You were rough on him, rightfully so. The same way I get mad at my Cincinnati coaches, I can understand your frustration and why you were mad at him. So, I give the Pelicans a lot of credit. I was just waiting to see when you were going to drop Alvin Gentry in there.
you ready for me to drop a Gentry line like I did on Les Miles?
Yeah, I was. I was waiting on it, bro. I was waiting on it. Oh, man.
Y'all trying to get me again. You know, it was funny, speaking of Elvin Gentry, I just so happened to listen to some sports talk on yesterday evening, and there were a lot of fans that were actually calling in and saying, please forgive me for all the comments I made about Elvin Gentry throughout the year.
Nice. Hey, if you can own up to it, that's what makes sports great. You can always win us back over. You can always win us back over. If you do the right thing and get it together, you can always win us back over.
Boy, fans are so fickle, I tell you, bro. That's crazy.
It's like a Janet Jackson song, What Have You Done For Me Lately?
What Have You Done For Me Lately? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there it is.
Yes,
right,
sir.
We got two more topics here. We'll wrap this thing up here. And let's talk about couple series here, and speaking of the Sixers and whatnot, can they win a championship this season? I mean, we talked about Ben Simmons. We talked about they're playing out of their mind. Joel Embiid came back, did his little thing. As much as I freaking hate to admit it, can they win the season, JQ?
You know what? I'm going to tie this one to the Warriors. If the Warriors get Steph Curry back. I think if the Warriors get Steph Curry back, and I don't know if you saw it, they showed him warming up today. he looks like if they really needed him to be in the series against the Spurs, that he could play. And I fully expect him to come back in the second round and play. Like, they showed him warming up. You would not have known his knee was bothering him at all. He was skipping around and hopping, draining jump shots and whatnot. And I know that's not real game action, but when you see somebody able to move around like they normally would move around, you're like, okay, with the fluidity and not breathing hard and all that, you know what I mean? That, like, he looks like he's back ready to see if he's got his conditioning right and be that force that we know, that MVP force we know he can be. So I would say for those two, the Warriors can win it all if Steph is healthy, and the Sixers cannot win it all if Steph is healthy.
Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, okay. All right. I was waiting for you to give me my assist.
My bad. You guys over to take
Come on, Safe Farm.
But yeah, all good. I got you. Hey, yeah.
But, I agree with JQ's assessment is on that as well. If you don't have a healthy Steph Curry, if the Warriors are not healthy, I think the Sixers actually have a legitimate chance of winning it all. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. I mean, they definitely got a legitimate chance of winning the Eastern Conference. And and if you don't have a healthy Steph Curry, then they definitely, I think they have a legitimate chance not only of winning the East, they have a legitimate chance of winning it all. You wonder if the youth is going to catch up with them the further they get along in the playoffs. So we'll kind of have to see how that goes. And, you know, even as excited as I am about my Pelicans, obviously it looked like we have to play the Warriors in the next round. And you know, and I'm just gonna, you know, be real. I mean, only chance that we have is if Steph Curry is not healthy, and I don't root for anybody to not be healthy. I mean, that's just not me. But I mean, let's just be real. If the Warriors team is healthy, they're still the team to beat. You know, Houston is the number one seed. Your only chance at, but I think they definitely need Steph Curry to win it, you know. And at first, I thought they could probably win it without him, but I think they do need a healthy Steph Curry to win it this year. I think it'll be tough for them to beat Houston without him, or beating a team like Philly without him as well. And and even the Pelicans, I think, can challenge them a little bit without Steph Curry too. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. I do think the Pelicans are going to give them a better series than what the Spurs are, though. Even though the Spurs won today.
Yeah, they did win.
That pride. That's what I thought the Blazers would have some pride when I said that to you. It's the pride. At home, we ain't going to go out like that. That's why I give the Pelicans a lot of credit. But, yeah, the Spurs, just that San Antonio's pride, and at least winning one at home, not getting swept, and winning one for Pop, you know, going what he's going through. I'm not overly surprised that happened. I'm with you. I think those two are tied hand-in-hand. Steph, the Giants are the key to the draft, and Steph is the key to the playoffs.
All right, JQ. So last time we talked, we were thinking that the Cavs were done and they were having some trouble. Did anything change your mind with tonight's win? As far as there's a lot of problems with, you know, your boy Lance Stevenson blowing in his ear and, you know, getting technical fouls and whatever. But what do we think? Can the Cavs win? And then, Rob, as we wrap this up, we're going to wrap up the show out too as well. So, give us your thoughts about that.
The Cavs can win this series. They can't win the playoffs. The others, like Shaq likes to talk about a lot, just don't inspire any confidence for me for them making a long, sustained run and getting to the title and winning it. I just don't see that happening for Cleveland. I mean, Indiana's playing real scrappy, and I give them a lot of credit, but they are not the Warriors. They're not going to be the Sixers. You know, wouldn't be the Rockets. I mean, I just don't see if they get past them. You know, maybe even getting past the Raptors if it comes down to it. If they can, you know, hang on, it's now 2-2 with the Wizards. I just don't see them, you know, getting the upper echelon team with the cast he has around him, the way they're playing and winning it. So, yes on the Pacers, but no on the title.
The Dodgers got to step out. Dodgers.
Okay, Rob.
Boy, you stupid.
Go ahead.
I mean, think about it. He went for 46-12, and they won by 3 points. LeBron went for 46.
And they won by 4 today. They would have, like, a triple-double almost today, too. Yeah,
and he didn't rest in the second half. And he didn't come out the game. They barely won. Well, he had to carry him, take no rest in the second half, and they barely won that game. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, you look at his supporting cast and what they are and aren't doing, and we were really excited about them when they first got together, but I don't know if they figured them out, if those guys have just hit a wall or what, but the others are not given any confidence that they can. They might slip by the Pacers, but they ain't going to be nobody for real.
The others got to step up and play.
There you go.
That's good, Rob.
True.
But yeah, you're exactly right. And when you look at Cleveland, I mean, right now, Kevin Love, to me, even as a, you know, even though he's an All-Star, you know, there's 24 guys that make it to the All-Star game, but he's on that 23-24, you know, just barely making it to that All-Star. He's an All-Star, but the way, you know, he's not, they need a guy, in order for LeBron to be successful, well, I'm not going to say in order for him to be successful, in order for him to be playing for a championship, he needs another guy on this team to be at least a top 10 caliber player. I mean, he needs somebody that's going to be, that's like a Scottie Pippen, like Durant and Steph Curry has, two guys in the top five. I mean, if he was going to have any chance of winning the championship, and you can say what you want, you know, great players still need another great sidekick in order to win. And he just doesn't have that. Hold on, Rob.
He's probably missing Kyrie Irving right about 9-8. Come on, Kyrie. Come back to me, bro. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
no doubt.
You know, Boston is missing Kyrie Irving right now, too. I mean, I mean,
yeah, you're right.
I don't think that series would be 2-2 if Kyrie Irving was staying. I think Boston would be able to lead at least 3-1 if they had Kyrie Irving. But now, that's a tie series. And you can offshore. So we can make a case of Cleveland had Kyrie Irving. The series might be over already. It might be 4-0.
Agreed.
Or at least 3-1 Cleveland. And they had a healthy Kyrie Irving as well. So, I mean, yeah. So this one's LeBron's got to really work for it, and he is. He's really going to have to carry his team on his back because there's no one else is stepping up. And you got to remember, a lot of these guys they got in that trade, Larry Nance Jr., Jordan Clarkson, these are guys' first year in the playoffs. This is their first rodeo in the playoffs.
No excuse,
so.
Rob. No excuse.
I'm not making excuses for them.
Step your game up. Step it up.
They do.
Yeah, no, they haven't.
They have to. I mean, you can clearly see the way Cleveland is now tied 2-2, Toronto is now tied 2-2, and those Sixers up 3-1. The Young Bucks, they're looking like the best team in the Eastern Conference right now. Yeah, but yeah, I think Cleveland finds a way to get by Indiana. I really do. It might take them 7 games, might take them 6 games. Well, it have to be at least 6 right now. Cause 2-2. But, you know,
I think they'll 7.
Yeah. I think they'll find a way to get by Indiana. And they might just find a way to get by Toronto, but I don't think they're beating the Sixers. I really don't.
I agree.
Wow. I agree. All right, Rob, let's wrap up the show, man. It's been fun. Fantastic.
Yes, sir.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in again. We covered a lot today, NBA, NFL. Even gave you a little teaspoon of the NL East. But we're going to be right back at you live on next Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss it. We'll have the recap for the NFL draft. And always after the draft, that's when you start to see these secondary free agents start signing teams, trying to sign guys at positions that they didn't need. So we'll keep you abreast of some positions that they didn't get in the draft, I should say. So you start to see that secondary signing. Some periods start opening back up in the NFL, so we'll keep you abreast of what's going on there. Obviously, NBA, we're in the mix of an exciting NBA playoffs right now. Keep you abreast of that going forward. We'll start getting you ready for the NBA draft here in a few weeks, probably about mid-May or so, or early June. We'll start getting you ready for the NBA draft as well. So we'll start with that as well. So definitely want to stay tuned for our upcoming shows going forward. A lot to talk about, a lot happening in the sports world. You don't want to miss it, people. Good night.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Piggyback on that. You know, people got mad and said, oh, I can't watch the NBA because it's a foregone conclusion. These NBA playoffs have been fantastic so far. So if you haven't been tuned in and you've been listening to the show and hear us talk about it, make sure you turn on the TV and click some of these games. I think it'll be worth your while. It's been a really good show. A lot of 2-2 series. I didn't know we were going to go to 2-2, but you know, we're in a lot of best of three situations right now here in the East and the Western Conference in this first round. So tune into that. And, of course, we're going to be here for your source of all your NFL draft fallout and recap. Like you said, those secondary signing period coming up. So we'll see. We'll appreciate y'all listening to the show and downloading it and listening to the OT portion. Holler at you next Sunday. It's been real, fellas.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of the NBA playoffs real quick, look at the star power in the playoffs. I mean, there's well, just look at the players. I mean, Chris Paul, James Harden with the Rockets. I mean, battling the T-Wolves and Jimmy Butler, Carl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins. And, man, they put it through Houston last night. And Houston had the best record in the NBA this year. So it's yeah, and who knows? They might have a chance to tie that series up at 2-2 as well. I think they play again tomorrow night, if I'm not mistaken. It's either tomorrow or Tuesday. So, you know, so definitely a lot of intriguing matchups out there. I thought the Warriors would finish off the Spurs today, but as you mentioned, you know, prior to the Spurs. But it's inevitable, though. The Warriors will be probably finish them off there in game five.
Yeah.
And, and, you know, Cleveland, Indiana has been an exciting series. I mean, they're giving LeBron James all they can handle. And LeBron is one of those players, you love him or hate him. So, I mean, obviously the intriguing factor from the fan standpoint is, you know, making that series pretty highly rated because you either got that large group rooting against them or you got that large group rooting for them. So that makes it for exciting television with Cleveland and Indiana right now.
Awesome.
Yep, good times. But like we said, man, it's been exciting, and you definitely that's we talked about as far as JQ. I love how the fact how you tied in, man. Like so certain series we didn't expect, certain things that are coming up. So man, the playoffs have been really, really good, man. So again, as much as I freaking hate Philadelphia, I do appreciate that what they're doing, man, and exciting times as well. And congrats to your boy,
the process
too, man.
Is ongoing.
And, you know. It is ongoing.
The Phantom of the Process.
Really nightmare. Oh my gosh, it's all good. All right, gentlemen. Hey, it's been a great show as always, man. Thank you guys for hanging out. You guys be safe during the week, like we always do. And then a couple Sundays, a couple of weeks from now, I've got some events on Sunday night, so we can't keep us going too much longer. But again, looking forward to
we'll
the draft coming up. We'll talk about that. Yeah. Oh yeah. And all that good jazz. But again. Have a great, great week. I know we'll be texting back and forth as always like we do. And, gentlemen, let's get ready for the draft, okay? Let's talk about it, man. Let's have some fun.
Let's get ready.
Absolutely.
Hey, I might be having a daily update to my mock draft now that we have we're getting closer and closer with more of the information on a daily basis. So stay tuned to our listeners out there. You'll be seeing it.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
And
we appreciate
so exciting, guys.
Can Toronto and Houston rise in the playoffs? That's going to be a big question.
That's true too, man. But yeah, like I said, man, and just really quick, one more thing about the draft, man. This is so exciting, man, because like I said, the Giants, they control everything, man. So once those dominoes fall, it's going to be nuts, man. So everyone's going to be, can't wait to see that too. But anyway, gentlemen, have a good, I'm not going to keep you guys too much longer because I'll talk your head off, but appreciate you. And we will definitely talk throughout the week. All right.
All right. Yes,
good night,
sir.
People.
You have a good week, brother.
Good night, people.
I'll let
you too.